So you've come here for the truth. Well, we've got the truth and nothing but the truth. Here are your hosts, Robert A. Bianchi and David J. Bruno.
Okay, welcome to WMTR Radio, Something About the Truth, with your host, Bob Bianchi, Dave Bruno, two lawyers from New Jersey, a show about mindset, not so much about the law, but every now and again, Dave, and I think today may be one of those days we're going to wind up doing a little legal.
Sure. We have Michelle Schamberger, is from Plaintiff's Gambit, and Michelle is a top graduate from a pre-law and legal studies program and started this Plaintiff's Gambit, which is a trial and logistics firm, which is kind of like a concierge for trial lawyers in mass tort cases. And I've seen, Michelle, first of all, I have to applaud you for your content creation on LinkedIn. That's where I first saw all of the stuff that you're doing, especially this very unique company that you put together, which is very successful. And I appreciate you coming on to Nothing But the Truth. I look forward to listening to how that started and where you intend to go with that.
Thank you for the invite. I'm really excited to tell my story. Hopefully not too long of a story to you guys, but it's a fun little way of how I got there and many hats that I play along the way.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm just intrigued because, like, when Dave says concierge to attorneys, I mean, we're two trial lawyers. We're a little snobbish about that fact. There are people, a lot of people that are out there that call themselves trial lawyers, and it's like nails on a chalkboard to me. You know, when you say to them, "Have you ever been in front of a jury before?" and they're like, "No, but I'm a litigator," and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, no." But I mean, you've been in these circles, and from what you were just explaining before we went on air on what your service is and how you came to this prescient opportunity that you took advantage of, I'm like, why don't we have her in our cases? So maybe you could tell our audience what it is that you do.
So basically, I streamline vendor relations. I bridge the gap between the law firm and the vendors during a trial. It's between print production, food production, transportation for experts. I oversee the projects where there's basically a receipt. I oversee it so the team can focus on their billable time, which is basically the client. Your paralegal, your associates don't have to worry about running around getting the supplies, ordering the food, doing the hotel stays, even handling my hand-holding of sometimes your plaintiffs or your clients. I step in on site with them and do that for them so they can focus on the case, which I actually love doing. I'm a people person, and it's something that most people, you love it or you hate it, and I love it to pieces, and I've got a reputation nationwide for being kind of good at what I do. So it's fun. I've been in the war trenches with the team. I don't sleep. If they don't sleep, I don't sleep. If the door's open, I'm right there with them.
Yeah, I think that, I think what surprised me about the show, Dave, and the feedback that we get from people is their, and we just had a show recently, the intensity of the trial process and the energy, mental energy, emotional energy that goes into trying a case. And Michelle's correct. I mean, when you then have to add, I never even thought of it until we're talking to her right now, all the things that you have to do logistically in order to get the plane, in order to get the taxi, in order to get the food. You're thinking about all these other things, and it's distracting to what the mission is. So, Michelle, you're basically, you're coordinating all that. I assume that you would sit down ahead of time, and it's like a pre-planning phase, and you then execute on that. Is that how it works?
Exactly. So I actually will scout the city. I'll go in. I will find the hotel or the venue where the war room will be at. I will actually map it to the courthouse. I will find the best way there to and back for the team. If there needs to be a shuttle service, I make sure that's provided. I walk the hotel, visit a hotel, make sure there's security in place for safety purposes. If there's a key card for the elevators, how's the war room going to flow for your printing machines? If you're going to be able to hold more than two big massive printers. So I literally go on site and walk it and streamline it before the team gets there. So I know where the food's going to go, the printers are going to go, where the team's going to be, how the printers are, the stations that are going to have workstations. I pre-map that for them. I do the supply orders in advance. I meet the team in advance. Everything's pre-done and logically put into place before the team even gets onto site. So it just basically, they walk in and walk out and I do everything else for them. So I set up, I break down. It's all done for them.
What has been the response of some attorneys who never had the services that you provide and now utilize your services? Like, what has been the thing that you hear has surprised them and they've been satisfied with the most?
First of all, they can't live without me once they've had me, but it's the food. It's, I take a lot of passion with making sure they're healthy during these trials. If you've been on site for 6 weeks or even 3 weeks, you'll start noticing your team starting to collapse. You'll start getting tired, start getting sick. But I take into consideration having really good meal prepping. I even go into the religious aspect, if they're kosher, if they have to have certain plans for their food. So that was one thing that made it really popular, is bringing me on site for making sure they have their protein, if they're vegan, if they're gluten-free. Like, that was a key thing, is really taking and like going one by one, each key member of the team, and finding their dietary restrictions and setting up them for success through just their diet. And just little things like that, you would never know until you go on trial, like, oh my gosh, I've got everything I need to survive and thrive. I noticed over when I first started, certain attorneys were doing really, really well. After 6 weeks, I was like, what are they doing? And it was their diet. So I started incorporating the diet into the plans when I do these logistics. And that's really, every team you talk about, you ask them about my war room food. And they will say, she's got the best food. And it's just because I take very seriously their health. And how, like, even like whole medication, just making sure they're healthy along the way. So that's the key thing.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, when we're on trial, like when we've been on trial in an intense case, you don't have the time to eat well. And typically you're eating like garbage. And I never thought about that, really.
No, I this could be like a course, Michelle. I think we should like get to, this is an important conversation for trial lawyers. I mean, this is not being discussed whatsoever. As to like prepare yourself, your body for the trial upcoming. And then that's a service that you offer. But let me ask this, because you had pre-law education and legal studies. Was it in the beginning you wanted to be a lawyer? Did you think about that? And why, if so, did that change?
So actually, no. I got into West Point. I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to be a helicopter pilot. And when they went to test my eyes, apparently I don't have the vision to be a pilot. So that whole idea of being in the military got shot down, literally. And my daddy wanted me to be a lawyer. And he was very adamant. He thought I should be a lawyer because I was very good at logistical like game playing in my head. To honestly be truthful, I'd rather have been a fashion designer and go into marketing, and hence the background. You see a lot of marketing online for me. I love to write. I love doing marketing campaigns, but I ended up getting my pre-law law. I was going to become a lawyer. I was going to go to Florida State, and life happened, and I did not finish my JD, and it's a blessing along the way because I've been in law now on off and on for over 22 years, but I can never be an attorney. It's not my cup of tea. I prefer the aspect of the relationship building, making money for the firm, bringing in clients, doing contracts, stuff like that, bringing people in. But sitting down and practicing law, it's not my thing. But the people behind the scenes, the awes, the people behind the curtain, that's what I thrive on. I love the game of law, but I just don't want to practice it.
Wow. Now, how did this business start? What was the epiphany that brought you to Plaintiff's Gambit?
So I actually was working for a law firm, Alstock, Wicking, Crease & Overholtz in Pensacola, Florida, as an executive assistant for Neil Overholtz, who's at this point had passed away. But they were working on the 3M earplug litigation. I think you guys might have known of that big litigation that took place. And Brian Alstock was lead on that trial group. And when they hit the bellwether cases, this was never an idea for me until I kind of got cherry picked and thrown into their bellwethers. And they're like, Michelle, you can handle logistics, which kind of got blindsided. And I was thrown in for the first bellwether, which was a consolidated case with multiple plaintiffs and a ton of attorneys. And with it being the biggest MDL ever at the time, we had massive groups of attorneys coming in. I mean, we've basically sold out all the hotels in Pensacola. And during that time, it was you sink or swim situations at that trial. And needless to say, I did very, very well. And I thrived handling all the logistics for all these massive law firms that came in. And it became the thing that everyone wanted Michelle to handle the bellwether cases. So over a period of time, I was handling everyone's bellwether cases for the 3M litigation. And there was a moment in time that was like, you know, I could actually do this as a business. And the more I went along and the more the firms wanted to utilize my services, and everybody was literally like making bids on who gets me for the next trial, that I thought, well, you know, this is something I love. I love the people I meet. Why not? And was graciously backed behind, AWKO backed me on the idea when Mr. Neil Overholtz passed. That was my sign to part ways. And I went on my own and continued with a 3M litigation, did very well with that group, and ended up doing the Johnson & Johnson bankruptcies after that, and just kept on going. But it was just something I was thrown into, didn't expect it, but the many hats that I wore up to that point created the foundation for something that I actually really thrived at. And it stimulated me enough that I get bored very, very easy. So just so many things being thrown at me, I loved it. It was like a high. And when you're doing that for 2 years straight, it's like an addiction. So at this point, I love it. I am a sucker for trials. I love going into trial. It's something like I can eat, sleep, and do it all day long. Most people, you hate it or love it. And I like, it's a passion of mine. Like, I love going in the trenches for teams.
Well, all right. Well, I think we're time for our break. So we're going to, that's an amazing story. I got a lot of questions I got to ask, but you're listening to WMTR Radio. It's Nothing But the Truth with Dave Bruno, Bob Bianchi. We'll be right back.
At the Bianchi Law Group, our team of former prosecutors and certified criminal trial attorneys specialize in criminal defense and domestic violence cases. When you need a law firm with courage, compassion, and the commitment to fight for you, call the Bianchi Law Group today.
All right. Welcome back. So, Michelle, we talked a lot about food and we never really thought about the importance of it, but Dave and myself are laughing how we're always like, where's the nearest place around here so we could shove something in our mouth and get the help back to court?
Yeah.
That's not even including the evening. But what else do you do other than the food in terms of helping the logistics of the team actually, if at all, try the case? And then I want to ask you a business question.
So not just food, of course. I work with a phenomenal travel agency. So we do room blocks. So if you got a room block, if you need to do that, we go in and save the team between 10 to 30% on your blocking of your room. So I try to save money for the litigation, because normally when you have a court order, you're supposed to stay in certain regulations for your cost of your room. So I work on that. I do the negotiations for the room blocks. Transportation, like you mentioned, I've done private car services for transportation back and forth from when we had, for example, Newark, we did a team back and forth. So we've done it when we've had shuttles. Print production is huge. We do it when we have to do massive documents and overnight documents. So I step in, I'll find a vendor that can handle overnight production. If they can't do it, we do it in-house, trying to figure that out. I'm bringing in commercial printers. I've done set up the workstations, just anything, even down to dry cleaning. If you need your lucky button down shirt, which there are those lucky, you know, shirts that you had to have when you go in front of your courtroom, we've done that. So dry cleaning, I've had it, as well as you would never expect people getting sick and having to go to the hospital, emergency rooms. I've had 2 heart attacks where we've had people go to the hospital. So I step in. It's anything that you wouldn't expect, I'm there to, you know, take it on for your team. So if you're, we had a gentleman at one of our trials that, you know, he was an avid swimmer and he ended up having a heart attack at one of the pools. And then we've had one of the girls with collapse and she got dehydrated. So it's just different random things where even as a mom, I'll step in and make sure they're taken care of.
Sounds like they may need an EMT on their team.
Tell her, you please.
Know, if you're ever looking for a good looking EMT on your team, you know, there's a guy, a lawyer in Jersey here. He's looking for a side hustle.
He's got a couple hats, right? He's riding on the ambulance on the weekends, Michelle.
Yeah. So Michelle, I'm listening and I'm kind of hearing on a couple of occasions the idea, and based on if Bruno knows who you are, then you are definitely in the social media game, because yes. He's probably the most prolific attorney in New Jersey on social media. So he knows the players. I'm curious. One, you talked to us pre-show about how you got involved in doing this, so I'd like to hear that story. But two, it seems like you're the person everybody wants. Are you scaling?
So yes, I have contracted employees. So depending on the projects, I have teams that come in. So I actually do conferences as well, international, national conferences, though depending on the project, depends on the personality and their capabilities. So I have a group of individuals, I call my boots on the ground, will come in and they'll do the projects with me. I've done multiple projects at the same time. Actually, this past spring, I did a big trial up in Delaware, as well as a large conference up in Park City. So it can be done, and it's done smoothly without any hiccups, and I'm very proud of that.
Okay. And so I think that a lot of times people that do something as unique and niche-y as you do are perceptive people. I'm not sure if you said this on the show or when we were talking earlier. They have a sixth sense about them. They're out ahead of some ideas. Talk to us about what got you in this space in the first place. Because I think if you let life go by you many times, you may miss the opportunity. You didn't do that. How did you get inspired to do this?
No, it's something I enjoy doing. And I think I mentioned right before the show that I brought up the Queen's Gambit situation. Mm-hmm. So as you guys know, the company's name is Plaintiff's Gambit. Queen's Gambit is based on chess. And chess is a huge thing for me. It's when you move one piece, it always affects five other pieces. And that's just life in general. And with logistics, it's your key players. If you move one vendor, it's going to affect everything else. And while I was doing these trials for 3M, I really love the game. It's literally a game of chess. And every time you move somebody or a key player, if you have an expert that, okay, they can't, or they get pulled, who's up next? So it basically messes, like you're expecting expert to be up on Monday and they end up on Wednesday. And it messes the whole plan for that week. I step in because it changes the flight. It changes the rooms. It changes the food. It changes everything there is. So in my mind, it's a big game and it's like a high. And so I created a business out of a game that I love. So it came from the idea of chess and become a logistical game of playing that in the realm of business. And that's how it all kind of came together. And granted, like I said, there's multiple hats. I've had background in multiple different avenues that's led to this position. I have strong background in law. I understand law. So I can go in a courtroom and understand what's happening in the transcripts. I know what the judge is saying. But at the same time, I have a background in marketing, so I can market myself. I have a background, and I used to work for the Bar Association, so I know how to work with judges. I've done investitures. I know CLEs. I know all this stuff from different avenues that's led up to this. So it just made sense to put it all into something that no one else is doing. Granted, there are people that do what I do, but they don't do it as a boutique style. They don't have that personal touch. They don't do that special, okay, let me put the Reese's Pieces on your pillow because that's something you enjoy at night and that makes you feel like you're at home. It has that special feel that I had a gift that they joked with me when I used to start doing trials that I am a little OCD, but I do custom coffee orders every morning and I would memorize everybody's coffee order. So when you have 20 different coffees, I would put their names on it, but I would put it in alphabetical order. It was like a game. So you'd watch me shuffle these cups into alphabetical order. But it was like a game. So everything in my mind is how do I create, it makes it fun. At the same time, everyone's winning at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's great.
It is. It is such a great concept. I love it. But you have this service. You need to get this out and for people to see it. And that's where I came across you. And I applaud you on the marketing aspect of it. And I wonder, are you into LinkedIn as your primary marketing channel? And if so, why'd you pick that? And how are you so good at getting engagement and getting people to contribute to your posts?
So I'm not cool like these people on Instagram and Facebook. My kids, I can't keep up with them. You know, in my 40s, I'm not the cool mom, apparently. But I realized a long time ago that my clientele, the people that are my drive are on LinkedIn. They're the ones that are ambitious to starting business. They want to learn from others. They want to grow. They want to network. So why not network with those who are like me? And that was LinkedIn. So I got really aggressive with on that platform versus Instagram. Because no one that they call me an influencer. I'm not in that type of influencer. I'm someone to grow with you. So I didn't feel like being like, I don't want to say a teeny bopper or a youngster or whatever. And you look at me using some weird words for the most people don't realize, but it wasn't my avenue. LinkedIn is going to be the CFOs, CEOs, managing partners. Those are the ones I want to cater to that are going to be there. And that was my audience. So I went straight to LinkedIn. And in regards to being able to market to it, and I have a very strong background in marketing. I was a chief editor of a law magazine. I did an article every week for a local law newspaper. So I know how to write. I know how to, I do all my own ads, all my digital ads, all my videos. That's all me. I don't have a company that does my marketing for me. That is strictly me. I have, like I mentioned just a second ago, a little bit of OCD. I have anxiety and I write, and writing is my outlet. And one way, if you've read my post, I'm very transparent. I like to do articles that are just business-based. And I learned a long time ago, if you're transparent with your peers, they're going to bond with you. And if you have that relationship, they're going to more likely come to you. So I've noticed when I'm at big, huge conferences, it's kind of unique that I'll go to Vegas or something, and I'll be eating my little salad, and I'll have somebody come up to me and be like, Michelle, tell me how your story ended. I read about it. Like, for example, I had my son this spring. I had done a story about my son having his teeth knocked out during a sports practice the day before prom. And that he, you know, I turned that story into more of a leadership aspect. How do you keep on going when there's something like that? Do you just embrace it, or do you just hide from the crowd? So I turned into a leadership post with my son as the, you know, lead story, part of the story. And this guy got so intrigued about reading that, that he actually came up to me in Vegas when I was eating my salad and said, I got to know what happened to your son. And like, how's his teeth? But being transparent, making these stories, they can bond with you. They can relate to you because they're struggling too. These big guys that you think they're all powerful, they're just like you and I. And it breaks the ice that so when they do see me, they feel like they can relate to me. And it opens so many doors for me in so many ways that I'm still in awe that some of these people that are reading my stuff are actually reading it. But it's a great bonding and I love it. I get messages, actually a lot of messages daily at this point of people relating to my things. And of course, I'm inquisitive about Plaintiff's Gambit and what I do. And this platform has been surreal. I just actually did an announcement that this week I had over 1 million views in 1 year. Like, that's pretty substantial to me. I think that's pretty dang good for LinkedIn. Like, that's pretty cool. So it is. I love the platform. I think it's great. Wonderful way to network with my peers.
Do you see, cause Dave, I know you're Dave's like tickled pink when you're talking about LinkedIn and the strategy. This is Dave all the way. But do you see conversions? Like, how do you, we're going to be doing a series like Teach Bob Me on how to do things because I don't know what I'm doing. So it's kind of like we're going to videotape how dumb I am. And it's Dave's way of making fun of me. So then I like it. It's a self-deprecating humor. But it's true. I mean, like at the end of the day, like me, I look at it like, you know, all these vanity projects like Facebook and we're on TV all the time. So like, you know, Instagram, whatever is great, but it was never converting clients. And that's why I think Dave is so big into the LinkedIn to build those relationships with our strategic people that we can help. How did you make that like work for you? So like, I get the posting and stuff, but did you aggressively go after people that were in your market and reach out to them, or did they come to you?
Both. So when I first started and I had nobody, like no friends, no impressions, I went and when I started reaching out, because when you're allowed to invite friends weekly. So every Sunday, or actually my case is every Monday, I can go into my like, okay, let's go ahead and let's friend somebody or like somebody or like have them follow you. I would go and type, okay, who do I want to go after this month? Where am I going to travel? So, okay, I'm Michelle, I'm going to go to Dallas. So I'll go in and look Dallas attorney Mass Torts, type that in. So I would aggressively type in people that I know that are in that demographic. And what would I do? I would create a post for that area. Hashtag Dallas, hashtag Mass Torts. So I would basically prepare myself for that market by finding friends in that area and then create a post that's for that area. So I would tailor it to who's in that demographic. If I'm going to South Carolina, same thing. Go find people in South Carolina, make a post for South Carolina. If I want to go ahead and start something new for conferences, I'll find people that are in conferences or whatever it may be. I would the week prior start friending people in that area. And then over a period of time, I had a really strong network as the people started reaching out to me because they would see, because they would click on it. And then of course you got cross marketing at that point. So everyone else sees and they start friending me, but then they're wanting those services as well. So me engaging them, and then they eventually would engage me in return because they found me that way. But at first I had to make the initial push. At this point, people were coming to me. And like I said, they're messaging me daily at this point, but to start it, I had nothing, but I was the one. I tailored it. I envisioned, I manifested what I wanted, who I wanted, and I went after it. And you do your research, you know, okay, who's in this ball game? And it's like, who do I want to talk to? Who's leadership on MDL? Who's coming down the pipeline? You have to do your research. You just don't randomly pick people, but that's what I would do. I'd research what I wanted, manifest it, you know, do my demographics and go by city. And here I am. I'm now traveling all over the nation.
Wow, that's amazing. I wish we had more time, but unfortunately, Dave, we have come to an end. But we came to an explosive end. That is a lot of
I wish I had more time on this because we see eye to eye on this. That is the platform. It's the hardest to crack, too. And that's why people get on and they get off and they just watch and they don't comment. But it's all important. Content creation, you're great at that. It's the extension, connection with other contacts. And last but least, not least, nurturing. You also got to nurture those connections too. And it is a platform that most professionals do not get yet. But we do, Michelle.
Yeah, we got to tie it down. We got to bring it down. Love to keep going. Maybe we'll do another one sometime because I think we could do a subject just on this alone that I know our people would really love. But Michelle, where can people find you before we close out?
Yeah, check me out on, of course, LinkedIn, Michelle Schamberger. That's S-C-H-A-M-B-E-R-G-E-R, Plaintiff's Gambit. I have my own website, that's plaintiffsgambit.com. All right, anytime, just Google me. You'll find me. I pop up everywhere at this point. So thank you, guys.
All right, Dave, that's it, man. Where can they find this?
It's nothingbutthetruthpodcast.com on Saturdays, WMTR, 9:30 a.m. nothingbutthetruthpodcast.com. Come and find us. And watch Michelle. Thank you, Michelle, for nothing but the truth.
All right, Michelle, thank you.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Bye. Great job.
Bye.
We're the Bianchi Law Group, a team of former prosecutors and certified criminal trial attorneys.
But here's the thing. He put himself in a box when he said my client's
relied on by CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Law and Crime, and news leaders across the country for our criminal defense expertise.
In a search warrant, you have to have probable cause that a crime's been committed and there's evidence in a particular place.
When you need a law firm with courage, compassion, and the commitment to fight for you, call the Bianchi Law Group today.